Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sean, I think we could break the Lions draft into thirds. Six picks, little pods of two. Because they're all kind of getting lumped together. The two corners, the two projects, the two value selections late. Six picks in total for Brad Holmes. He moved up into the fourth round to draft a project tackle, to draft a special teamer, maybe a third string running back. But if you take the draft in its totality, the players they got late, Wingo and Mahogany, were considered to be fourth round picks by NFL.com's, you know,
evaluation,
pre-draft
yeah.
evaluation. So if they had taken those two in the fourth and then drafted the project tackle and the special teams ace in the sixth round, would we have any issue with it at all? It's the same six players. Would we have any issue with it at all?
Well, I mean, let's just go back to last year's draft. If they had taken, you know what, Brian Branch in the second round instead of Jack Campbell and then took him a little bit later, would he have gotten that much pushback? Or if you put Branch in where they took running back, Jahmyr Gibbs. So, yeah, you could flip guys around, and some of it is, like, tried to describe this last week, and I don't know if I did a very good job. Each draft is going to take on a life of its own. This one was very offensive dominant. And when you have all of this offensive dominance, people are thinking offense. So why do you want to take a project offensive tackle in the fourth round? Well, because you think that he's not going to be available. Plus, a lot of those guys are already off the board that you had rated as first, second, third, whatever it is. And now you're looking at it going, we have an opportunity to take a difference maker in the fourth round. It may take a year or 2 years to develop him into that difference maker, but we feel like he can be that guy because you're trying to win games, obviously, next year, which is why you get Arnold and Rakestraw in the first two rounds. You're trying to win games in 25, in 26, in 27, which is why you take guys that you are hoping to develop.
And the trading up, they'd lose a third-round pick for next year. But if that's the price to let your GM swing for the fences, to go heat check, trade up four times in one draft, I guess it stings not to have a third, but if someone has earned the ability to take a cut and swing for the fences, it's Brad Holmes.
Here's another way to look at it. When you're talking about these guys, is they had a 53-man roster last year. Now, some of those guys left in free agency. Some of them weren't re-signed. But if all of these guys make the roster, there's six guys that were on the roster last year, NFC Championship game roster, that will no longer be a part of it.
It's a good point. I said I had two compliments and one concern for Brad Holmes. And we welcome, you want to give it a draft grade or just talk through some of the picks you like and don't like. It's the Monday after the draft. You guys know the drill. 248-539-9797. Compliments first. The Lions gave up the most yards per catch last year, the most air yards. This was a downfield problem.
Mm-hmm.
Corner with the first round, corner with the second round. No issue doubling down on those two guys specifically. The style of play. They are physical, man coverage corners who do not hesitate to get their nose dirty in the run game, Rakestraw specifically. But the two of them fit the style of defense they want to run in Detroit. Their mentality, they're competitive guys. Arnold's very confident. Rakestraw's very confident. They're both competitive. These are the type of guys you need on the outside on an island against some of the NFL's best receivers. There are no guarantees that it's going to translate immediately. That's why having Carlton Davis as a veteran this year helps as you bring those guys along.
No, but if you're being drafted by a team that desperately needs help in the secondary, you got a lot of confidence that you can come in and have an instant impact. And if they're 29th in pass yards, I mean, what you got to get them to 16 and you're a success?
Well, yeah, exactly. The second compliment. Two offensive line picks that have the ability to stick long-term. We said we wanted an investment in the O-line. Ideally, earlier, you only have so many picks, though. They took two guys who now get to work with Hank Fraley, who's one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. One on the interior, one on the outside. Tackle, guard. Two pieces who you feel like long-term have the chance to stick here. Otherwise, you wouldn't trade up for Manu if you didn't think he at least had the chance to stick here. And Mahogany's a dude, again, fourth-round grade, big-time contributor at Boston College, dirtbag as a compliment. The mentality, those are my compliments, that they did address the defensive pass defense and that they did address the offensive line, not this year. They didn't need a guy to play this year, longer term beyond this season. My concern, maybe it's a minor gripe, maybe it's a bigger issue to some of you, I don't love that they're going to have to blitz their way to a buddy for Aiden Hutchinson. They got away with it at the end of last year, right? They would use Iffy, blitz him off the opposite side of Hutch, or they'd get a little creative with dialing up pressure. And it worked, but the problem is it's the only way to get pressure, and the only move they made this offseason opposite Aiden Hutchinson was Marcus Davenport, who has 2.5 sacks over the last two seasons, and it was a one-year deal. I think that's a fair criticism is... I guess they're just going to blitz their brains out. I would have liked to have somebody opposite Aiden that you could rely on.
Well, obviously on third downs, as it stands right now, they're going to be relying upon James Houston to be what he was as a rookie. Now, he was hurt all year last year, but that's, to me, what they're going into this saying, this is the confidence that we have in James Houston as a pass rusher. Now, in terms of stopping the run, first and second down, you've got Marcus Davenport. That's what he was brought in to do. And he can apply some pressure if he's healthy. That's the big if. DJ Reader, Aleem McNeil, both of those guys are good at applying pressure up the middle in passing situations. So it's not like they're devoid of pass rush. And if you have somebody in the back end that is doing their job and not allowing receivers to get open immediately, now maybe Houston and Hutch and Davenport, McNeil, Reader, insert any defensive player, they have a better opportunity of actually getting home. And so that's the counterpoint to they didn't address the edge position, whether it was in free agency, and you could say Marcus Davenport, but that's really not addressing the pass rush opposite Aiden Hutchinson.
Texter says, Jim brushes off the fact we traded future picks for next year, but we'll be the first to complain next year if we don't have them. I think when you take risk, you are aware that if it doesn't pay off, you'll be criticized. I mean, Brad Holmes isn't new to this, right? I mean, the idea is I like taking the swing, but if he swings and misses and they are without a third round pick next year that they would really like to have. Remember, they used the third to go up and get Terrion Arnold this year.
Well, I mean
he's not going to, we're not going to not criticize him for it. I mean, that's part of the territory.
Well, and he knows that, I mean, he held receipts from last year. Yeah. He knows that we're going to, you know, talk about the picks. People are going to make whatever decision they want about him, but I still have questions. Last year, they traded up for Broderick Martin. Mm-hmm. And we knew he was a project, so there better be some improvement this year. And where is that improvement? And we still have yet to figure out what Hendon Hooker is. And those were both third round picks. So he's not blind to the fact that he did take a guy last year that was developmental. He did take a guy in his very first draft in Levi Onwuzurike that I didn't like. It came out that he was actually hoping to trade up for him.
Yikes.
And there were other people in the room that said, no, just wait, he'll be there. They took him in the second round, and there's been no production.
So he you know, flashed his receipts, and I think justifiably so. We have receipts. Our receipt stack isn't as big as his. That's the biggest endorsement of him as GM for me so far, right. Is that I don't care about Onwuzurike because he got Sewell, St. Brown, and McNeil.
Right.
I mean, come on. Game, set, match. And the same thing with this draft. If the two corners hit, who cares? If you got two starting cornerbacks that you can trust in this league, in this draft, it's a home run. They've never had that in my life.
Yeah. They've never had, like, who was the last shutdown corner? You could say Slay.
Bly for a hot second when he when he joined the team.
But here's the thing. Nobody is expecting Brad Holmes to hit on every pick. Well, that's what we're hoping for, and we're looking at all six of these going, could be a hit, could be a hit, could be a hit. But the key word is could be. And some of that is, can they stay healthy? Can they develop? Can their game translate to the NFL? All of these are projections, but the fact that Brad Holmes has hit on more picks and hit on some of the big ones that, okay, he did you're picking two overall, you should hit. You're picking six overall, you should hit.
Yeah, but he did the same thing last year, it looks like, that he did in the first draft. The first four picks, especially, I've still got a little bit of doubt on Campbell, and I think he showed the less of the four. Those first four picks are unbelievable. So right now, I'm willing to forgive him for Hooker. I'm willing to forgive him for Martin. I can still maybe bring up somebody they should have taken, but when you, it's collectively about the class. And man, when you get three starters or more in a draft, it's, to me, the rest of the wash.
Well, and for identifying what Brad Holmes drafts, like characteristics, it feels like one and two should be contributors in year one. Everybody after that is guys that you're hoping will develop. He's not afraid to take developmental guys. And you could say, well, you know, was Amon-Ra St. Brown a developmental guy? He was coming off an injury in his last year at USC. And those are some of the risks that you take mid-rounds.
We got calls that want to, you know, weigh in on this. Draft grades, evaluation. What'd you think of the job Brad Holmes did? At some point this hour, John, you got to do a little bit of a breakdown on this Manu guy, this Canadian football player, because I don't think many people know what they're looking at when they watch the tape. We'll get that this hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you, ask you questions, and sit down with you to build a financial plan that fits your specific situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes on a regular basis to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tigers are 5-1 in games Tarek Skubal starts. That's Dan Dickerson's call. 11-11 against everybody else without Skubal. That's what an ace does. Lifts you up. Tigers have 16 wins. Our expectation for the month of April was 16 wins. Still two games to go.
Boom.
John, let's get to people. Phones are lit up. People want to talk about the draft. People got places to be in the morning. Steven Hartland, I'm sorry making you wait so long, buddy. You're on 97.1.
No, you guys are good. Great show. What I want to talk a little bit about the draft, and I'm just going to hit on a few points, is I think Holmes did a great job relevant to the past 2 years because of the like pecking order that he didn't have these real top picks. And how he maneuvered it with the players that he got was defines that word we've been hearing around town, grit. Now, the first two corners absolutely agree with, especially with that Arnold. I mean, the way he was supposed to be in a top 15 – getting to the end, the other picks, I know the one project, the guy out of Canada, yeah, that's going to be a project, but we'll see. And I don't think these are, like, always best player available, but the guy that I'm really, really excited about, I jumped off the seat on Saturday night when I heard about it. One of your co-workers or host, I can't remember, a couple weeks ago, talked about this guy out of Utah, and he fits the perfect grit position and relevant to his versatility, and I think very well he could be on this team this upcoming year, and I'm looking so forward to the season already.
Sione Vaki is his name, safety running back out of Utah. A lot of people mocked him to the Lions just because football player. Find a way to get a football player on a football field. Special teams guy, I think that's an obvious statement. I think they could use him in kick coverage. I also think there's a potential, John, with the new kick return. He was an explosive athlete at Utah. The Lions will have no shortage of options. They could use JMO, they could use Gibbs, but Vaki as a special teamer and a third string running back, I thought maybe a little early fourth round, but they like the player. That's maybe the only pick I really scratch my head going, did you trade up again into the fourth round for a running back?
Right.
And special teamer?
It's usually you're drafting guys for offense or defense, and then when they can also double as a special teamer. This, to me, seems because there are three phases of the game. You got the offense, defense, and special teams. And special teams has almost as many plays as either side of the ball throughout the course of the game. So to draft a guy specifically for special teams, depth at the running back position, but whether it's a kick returner or it's kick punt coverage, it's not shocking that Brad Holmes would identify a guy that could be very similar when we talk about Jalen Breaves-Maybin. Now, I know he made a couple of plays at the end of the year on defense, but he was a special teams guy. And to your point, though, was fourth round a little bit high to draft a special teams guy? He's going to get a lot of play in special teams. You're just not going to see impact plays on offense or defense.
So the draft is more art than science, but just historically, guys who are special teamers typically go like sixth, seventh round. End of the roster, find a way to keep a roster spot. Typically not the fourth round. Chris and Ypsilanti, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the call. I agree with John. I think Sione Vaki in the fourth round, I think he'll more than justify that pick and what we gave up to get up there just in a special teams play. I think he's going to be a special teams pro bowler. I am going to throw a little bit of cold water. I like this draft, but I think Brad took on a lot of risk. So trading up five spots in the first round, losing that third rounder, and not getting a fourth or a fifth back, that's a lot of risk. And I think it puts a lot on Tarion Arnold's shoulders. And I think it also hurt Brad on Friday because he was trying to trade up from 61 and he couldn't because he didn't have the ammo. Now, we got a great player in Enos Regstraw. And the long-term health of the DB room is excellent now. But the long-term health of the offensive line room is really, really shaky. Gio Manu's not going to play this year. He's going to be like Roderick Martin. He's a project, right? Mm-hmm. So right now your swing tackle is Dan Skipper, and I don't think any of us feel super comfortable with that. And then Christian Mahogany is a great player, but Tampa Bay took him off their board. Philly took him off their board. Those are good organizations. They're well-run organizations. I think the medical is more serious than we might know and the knee, what the testing would suggest.
Are you talking the knee because he tore his ACL back, or is there something else I'm missing?
Yeah, he tore his ACL in 2022 during a home workout in a freak accident. I'm a little bit concerned that it's more of like Nick Chubb torn ACL as opposed to a Jameson Williams torn ACL. And so, you know, he tested really well. Like, he played really well. But, like, if that knee is chronic, if that knee is degenerative, then you actually don't have a long-term answer at guard depth. And so, you know, there's just a lot of risk here. And I like the draft. I like Sione Vaki. I like Anis Reekstra. I love Terrion Arnold. But there is risk here, and I think that we should just temper our expectations. Like, Terrion Arnold and Anis Reekstra might not start over Meek Robinson and Carlton Davis, which is fine. And Christian Mahogany might not be the player we want him to be. Mekhi Wingo is an excellent pick in the sixth round. If, for all of you guys who like Braden Fisk, Mekhi Wingo is Braden Fisk, but better. Like, he plays a better technique, better pad level, better hand usage. He's just as explosive. So that's an excellent pick. He's going to be a contributor on the D-line immediately as a depth piece. But there is a risk to the offensive line group, and I think Brad needs to do more work to secure the long-term success of that room.
So some of this is they weren't going to draft the guy this year to start this year. That was kind of obvious because they went out and got Zeitler, and they got Ragnow back at least for one more year. He didn't retire.
Yeah.
Both tackles, strength of the team. They've got their five up front. This was about long-term pieces, and there's no doubt that Manu is a long-term piece. Mahogany, John, you tore your ACL and came back and played.
No.
No?
No.
No?
No, tore my Achilles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. No ACLs. I had got MCL, PCL. I've done them all.
But not the ACL.
But not the ACL, okay. Yeah.
So the other ligaments in the knee.
Yeah.
How big a deal was it?
I've had a lot of teammates, excuse me, that have gone through the ACL reconstruction, and 20 years ago, it was a really big deal. Now, it's kind of like Tommy John in baseball, where will they come back? Now it's almost like a rite of passage. They come back stronger and pitch better. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be better for having had this surgery, but it's not as big of a concern in anybody in football circles that there's an ACL reconstruction.
And he came back and played all last year after.
Yeah.
Ask your boy, Mark Brunell, who you're buddies with. Yeah. He was one of the last guys who I thought was great in the NFL. Like, he was starting to look like a mini Steve Young, and he blew it out in camp, and he was never the same. And
right.
Since then, it seems like guys,
but
for the
we're
most
also
part,
talking 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That is like always been my gauge for guys. It seems like there's still guys that can't bounce back, but you're probably talking under 5%, under 3% at this point.
Yeah, I mean, and then you go to freaks of nature like Adrian Peterson, who's back in, what, 6 months? And you're like, how is that possible? Like, this dude was an absolute freak. So there's extremes on both ends. But when a guy has this happen, it's just like the Achilles. I did my Achilles. That used to be a career ender. And it depends on the position, but it's not viewed that in the same way anymore.
Yeah, it's Achilles, isn't it?
Achilles, yes. Yes, only on Wheel of Fortune.
Malachi, and we had a Desmonis reference today.
Desmones.
Yes. We're really rolling this morning. I think the most polarizing pick is probably the offensive lineman, because you gave up a future third, and we saw Brad Holmes use a third to go up and get Arnold. We saw him use a third to go get Carlton Davis in the offseason. He used third-round picks to maneuver three different times in the last couple months here, and now he does not have one going into 2025. Is this player worth it? We need to carve out time for John Jansen to answer that question. It's 97.1.
Hey, the grass is, if it hasn't greened up already, it's going to be, and you need to make sure you give Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service a call right now. That's 888-GET-GREEN. You can find more information on the web at naturalwaylawn.com. For a limited time right now, purchase a full lawn program. You're going to get free grub control, but you got to mention my name along with 97.1 The Ticket. And here's why you need to make that call now. Because dandelions, they're going to grow right along with your grass. Crabgrass will start growing. You need to treat right now, because the weeds are going to rob your lawn of water and nutrients. And if you see crabgrass, it's probably too late. So you need to make sure you treat those things now. And here's the best thing about Natural Way is they're not going to give you a runaround. They're not going to treat for one thing and then halfway through the season, oh, we got another problem. They're just going to fix the problems when they see it. and give you the best lawn on your yard. And they've been doing it in Michigan for over 30 years. They're Michigan-owned, Michigan employees, Michigan family. So keep your money in Michigan as well. That's Natural Way Lawn and Tree Service. 888-GET-GREEN. Get green, stay green with Natural Way.
Let's get right to the phones. We've got Dave in Clinton Township. Dave, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, everybody's talking about like, if he gets hurt or if this happens or that. This is the NFL. This guy's going to get hurt. That guy's going to get hurt. Some jackass of a running back's going to miss his assignment. Stuff happens. But for the first time in a long time, we have in place an overall healthy team that can be fixed. And that also goes for every other team that we're going to be playing. People are going to get hurt in this league.
No doubt about it.
I don't think we should worry about one guy. It's the overall health of the team, the overall health of the draft.
How do you feel like they did?
I think they did good. There's some things I would have done differently, but I'm going to assume that Brad Holmes knows more about football than everybody else that's calling in at this point. I think he's earned a pass, I guess.
Well, he built up some major cachet in the first three drafts and has, I mean, you could say, call it cachet, call it street cred, whatever you want. I agree that he has earned the benefit of the doubt because there are some doubts about some of these picks.
When you give up future capital to move up for projects, you're going to add question marks the Monday after the draft. You said BOD, benefit of the doubt. I think he gets that.
There's no question he gets it. I mean, you look at the drafts, you look at what he has done over 3 years, and whether it's you could question his approach in free agency, you could question a lot of things, but the fact of the matter is he has built a roster that was, when he inherited it, the worst in football. It was 32 of 32. If there was a 33, I'd give him that one. And now, 3 years into it, is it a perfect roster? No. But he built a roster that the coaching staff, in conjunction with him, was able to go to an NFC Championship game. And I don't think it's done. Do I expect them to be back in the NFC Championship game this year? Absolutely. And these players will have a hand in that because it's going to be a better roster in year four than it was in year three and certainly year two and one.
Let's get to Mike in Shelby Township. Mike, there's a name that we have not brought up and it's driving you crazy.
Yeah, you know, you guys, everybody's talking about the pass rush and all this. And there's a guy that they signed early in the year, Matthew Betts. I know he's out of the Canadian Football League, but the guy was like, I think he was the defensive player of the year last year. He had 18 sacks. I never hear his name mentioned. Is he just going to be a practice squad player, or do you think he can make this roster?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to BS you, Mike. Like, the idea that I know a ton about Canadian football production, I don't. I will tell you, was Cameron Wake is maybe one of the better examples of a guy who went CFL to the NFL and was super productive. I don't want to place that on this guy. Like, John, am I missing something? Do you have any confidence level that he's going to be a contributor off the edge? I feel like going into this year expecting that seems kind of silly.
I mean, I don't know what to expect because you're talking about a different level of competition. It's like trying to project Manu. Like, is he projected? Will he be just an everyday starter? Will he be a backup? Will he be an all-pro? Like, there's a lot of projections, but we can't project that because he didn't play against anybody. And the level of – I asked Dan this last week when we were talking about the draft and preparing for how do you evaluate guys that come from big programs versus smaller programs, the level of talent that they're playing against. And it's really hard to do because you don't know how good or bad or ineffective that opponent that they're playing against is. Same thing with Manu, same thing with this edge guy.
So tell me about this tackle, because I see the clips and it looks like he's going up against middle schoolers. He's 6'8", 350 pounds. I see some bend. I see some movement. You, as a guy who played the position, who can scout it better than everybody else here, do you think it was worth the risk? Let's start there, because they gave up a third and we've seen how those thirds can help you maneuver around the offseason.
I do, if they believe that Sorsdahl, Wasika, and even Mahogany can be the guys that they're relying upon to back up the offensive line this coming season. Because, I mean, I think he could contribute this year. because he is such an unbelievable athlete at that size. But the transition from high school football to the NFL is really difficult. And that's basically what he was playing against was high school talent. So, and he's going to make some of the guys that are in the NFL look like high schoolers when he stands next to him because he is a massive human being. But I look at his change of direction, his athletic ability, his a basic understanding of offensive line play, and that is when you're blocking somebody or you're trying to get to the next level of keeping your shoulders square so that you can make a move left or right, no matter what that defender does. And he does all of those things. He's got really good drive, got a good pop off the ball, but that's hard to tell. The question I have is when things get real, because he's going to get hit in the mouth. He's going to get hit right under the chin strap. It's going to hurt. And how does he respond? Does he enjoy it? You know, you don't want to get knocked on the ground, but do you enjoy contact? Do you seek out violence on the football field? And if he has that mentality, this is a home run. But you don't know what his mentality is, and you can't pull a guy's heart out and see how big is that heart in the sports sense. You just don't know what type of drive. Does he have that drive to be a stud, to be excellent?
6'8", 350. I bet his heart's
it's pretty big.
Pretty large.
Yeah, the size of your fist, right? Yeah. that's a big heart, physically.
But I get what you're saying, and they went out and did the evaluations. 11 different teams did too. The idea this guy's an unknown. Plenty of teams had done their homework, and CFL or not CFL coaches, but the Canadian coaches up there were saying, teams said, "Hey, keep this on the down low.
Yeah.
We want to be able to get him." 6'8", 350 could profile as a right tackle when Sewell moves over to left tackle. Could be a succession plan with Taylor Decker.
In other programs, other franchises could profile as a left tackle.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But Penei Sewell's here. It's the only reason I say that.
Well, yeah.
But it's good to have two athletic tackles if he pans out. Good
100%.
Problem. Good problem to have. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, a woman from Ypsilanti was arrested outside of a 7-Eleven in Troy last weekend after she was found sleeping behind the wheel of a rented U-Haul. So on Saturday afternoon, police were called to check on this woman after she was seen slumped over the wheel for about an hour and a half. Well, officials woke her up and she admitted that she had been smoking crack just hours before.
Oh.
Yeah, just doing that. So afterward, they searched her truck. They found a glass pipe, some other paraphernalia, and a plastic bag with miscellaneous pills. So she is looking. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's the perfect reaction. Oh, she is looking at some charges there. Houston Texans wide receiver Tank Dell suffered a minor injury in a shooting. This was early Sunday morning that left 10 people injured at a Florida nightclub. So the Texans put out a statement saying that he was released from the hospital in good spirits. And he was a bystander during the shooting that took place at a private event. Police say a 16-year-old gunman was arrested, facing numerous charges, including attempted homicide. Thankfully, none of the victims suffered any life-threatening injuries, but it sounds like this teen just pulled out a gun. It was during a fist fight had broken out and just started shooting into the crowd. So thankfully, there wasn't any more serious injuries.
16 years old, should not have access, should not make it as easy to get one.
The whole thing, right? Well, that's for sure. And then, I don't know, at a nightclub, 16 there too. Are you doing? Go to school.
Things, yeah.
Like, what? Go to bed. I don't know.
Go to bed. Go to your room. You're grounded.
Exactly. You guys, Corey Cunningham, an offensive lineman who played for three NFL teams during his 5-year career, was found dead in his home last Thursday. 28 years old. So
shocking.
Young. Police discovered Cunningham after they were called by a concerned family member, and the cause of his death still remains under investigation, but police say that there is no evidence of foul play. Very sad.
So it's young.
Yeah.
So
way
young.
Too young.
5 miles of the Southfield Freeway will be under construction beginning today. Get ready to see those barrels. Road closures will span from the Southfield Freeway to Ford Road from today through the fall. So this is a multi-month project. It's a $15.5 million project as well. It's going to include, you know, concrete patching, milling, resurfacing, as well as just routine maintenance to the road. This project includes both the north and southbound lanes from Pinecrest Drive, which is just south of I-94 to Ford Road. Single lane closures during the workday hours, and then overnight and weekdays, weekends, expect double lane closures. Also ramp closures, things like that, you know. things you...
Construction emissions.
Stuff, you know. Yeah, you know, things we know. Okay, so a new report looked at how much you need to make to be rich in all 50 states. So this is unfortunately not going to make you feel... Well, maybe it will make you feel really good, or for me, it definitely doesn't. So they define being rich as being in the top 5% of earners in your state. So the lowest threshold is in West Virginia. You need to earn $329,000 a year to be rich there. Mississippi was next at $334,000, and then New Mexico, $353,000. Now, the most expensive states to be rich in is Connecticut at $656,000 a year, and then New York and Massachusetts. In Michigan, which is what we all want to hear, to be rich, you need to be earning $406,000 per year. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
And
on a yearly basis.
Yeah. Thanks to inflation and other factors, you need to earn a lot more to be rich than you ever used to. So the report found people in that 5% are making around 30% more than they did back in 2017.
Staggering.
Yeah.
Just doesn't go as far.
No.
Well, when you got, okay. If you're making that kind of money, though, I don't want to hear about it. It doesn't go as far. If you're in the top 5%, everybody else out here fighting in the streets.
Yeah.
Even if I sold the helicopter that came with this role, I don't think it would get me that far.
Yeah, maybe a bump for 1 year.
Yeah, just for 1 year. Yeah. That's Heather with the news. All right, we got a ticket text, and it says, how would the Lions draft strategy have changed if not for the Cam Sutton mess? John, we'll give our answers next. It's 97.1.
Idealia helps you lose weight. And it helps you lose weight fast. You can lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days using real whole foods. That means you could be 40 pounds lighter before you got to put that bathing suit on. That's right. Memorial Day right around the corner. Sign up now and get a $200 Visa gift card. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us. Idealu is different than other weight loss programs. It works and it works fast. I lost 10 pounds in the first 10 days. I lost 60 pounds overall with Idealu. And with Idealu, it's not shakes, bars, or prepackaged foods. You can go to the grocery store and get real whole food every single day. Idealu works because they teach you what to eat and drink to lose weight. You're in contact with your weight loss coach on a daily basis. They want you to achieve your goals. And once you've reached that goal, they're going to teach you how to keep the weight off. Idealu has helped me lose a bunch of weight, and they can help you lose up to 40 pounds in 40 days. Sign up now and get a $200 Visa gift card. Book your free consultation right now at idealu.us.
Lions draft started with a corner. Very next pick, you guessed it, another corner. The ticket text question, how would the strategy have changed if not for the Cam Sutton mess? John, I think it's a great question because Brad Holmes says...
best available.
He's a little smarmy when he says it. He's like, oh, the positional value. I just learned about that term. Would he have taken the same two players if they had Cam Sutton and they already had Carlton Davis and they already had Amik Robertson? When they already had a room full of corners, would they have gone double corner to start the draft because BPA?
I mean, it's a fair question. And I don't think they would have. Would they have traded up?
Well, No. You have to take the best player available.
But would they have traded up? The best player available was there at 24.
Right.
I don't think he'd have been there at 29.
So you don't think they would have traded up for...
Well, they might have traded up for somebody different.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. I mean, if he went at 24, I forget who we traded with.
Dallas.
If he went to Dallas or, whoever was picking in front of us. I don't remember off the top of my head now. But, or somebody else could have traded up with Dallas or with anybody else. And so do I think that would have changed his thinking on it? Very well could have. I don't know.
Well, if he's extreme in this position, then he would have also done what Atlanta did. Hey, I know we can only play one quarterback at a time, but best player available, we like Michael Penix. I know he's probably not going to play for 2 years, but he's the best player on our board. Like, how extreme?
So, BPA he kind of did that because, I mean, a lot of people thought Hendon Hooker was a first-round talent, then the ACL, so he took him into third because at that time he was best player available.
My point is everybody's making fun of the Falcons today, us included.
Yes.
Our GM would have done the same thing.
Could have been. I disagree.
Or he could have traded back because he did last year.
He says it's... We take the best player regardless of position.
It is taken too literally, though. I mean, come on.
I'm just giving it back a little bit. If he wants to play along.
If the Jags had Patrick Mahomes, and would they draft Trevor Lawrence? No, they wouldn't, even though they would trade down. That's the answer to it.
So there is some finessing to this. Positions do matter somewhat.
Well, technically.
Or if he has the pick, like best player available last year at 6, was a defensive tackle that with some questionable off-the-field issues. So what does he do? He trades back. He doesn't have to take the best player available. He takes the best player available that he has on his board at 12.
My point is it's a bit of a moving target. Whoever you draft is your best player. No bleep.
He never said last year post-draft, though, that Jahmyr Gibbs was the best player available at number 6. That's what John's point is.
Right.
He changes who the best player available is by trading.
By position in the draft.
Yes.
And to hold him to that every single time is a little, I think, unfair. I mean,
I'm not bringing this up to be a jerk. I'm just saying.
2 seconds or 2 minutes ago, you were.
Yeah, very dramatic. I mean, can we tear a piece of paper in front of the microphone for more drama?
I gave the guy an A-. I'm just saying the absolute. Oh yeah, should have been an A. The absolutes are a little much. Even he would have to concede if he's not going to do it publicly, privately. There is a little bit of a concession as to maneuvering around and the positions matter. Like, John, they weren't going to take a third corner, right, after taking two of them already. Like, you can only play so many guys at a position, and depth is good to a point, but you're not going to take backups to backups early in the draft.
Well, and he addressed the need in free agency with Carlton Davis, with Amik Robertson, and those were with Cam Sutton on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, he's not there, and it does become – now, we said this going into it. There was no urgent need anywhere, but there were needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought one of them would have been another target at wide receiver, a little more talent, a little more depth. And we also thought the biggest need would have been corner help. If Cam Sutton was there, we probably aren't looking at it through the same lens.
Yeah, I don't think they would have gone double corner to start
probably
if
not.
They had Sutton, because position does matter even a little bit. I don't think they would have gone double corner. Having said that, Cam Sutton's not on the roster. They did go double corner. It was a need. They gave up the most air yards in football last year. And I think, there's 6-1, half dozen another, how you want to play defense. Some people will say, we want to get home with 4 and drop extra guys in coverage. It's clear the Lions, especially late in the year, said we want to be able to blitz to get home. We're going to need guys who can hold their own in coverage. So it puts a premium then, if you're going to play that way, on making sure you invest in the corner position.
Well, and here's the other thing we don't know. What's their long-term plan at that position? Because nobody thought Cam Sutton was CB1, but Carlton Davis only on a one-year deal. So if he was simply, I'm going to put a Band-Aid on it with Carlton Davis, and I'll address it in the draft, maybe he would have taken the same two corners, knowing that it's going to take them, maybe Rakestraw or, Arnold, take them a little while to get their feet underneath them, get them comfortable, get them playing at the level that they want. And then if, at the end of the year, thank you, Carlton Davis,
mm-hmm.
but we have ours now.
Sure.
That's why I think the starters are Davis and Robertson. You work in the first rookie that's showing that he can work in, and then maybe you can get – like, I think it's fragile, because if they suffer injuries early in the year, I think that could spell trouble. You're relying on rookie corners because Mosley won't be back. It's almost like a – cat and mouse type game, like, to where can Mosley get healthy before Robertson or Davis gets nicked up while the rookies are coming along, and then you'll see the rookies later in a year. I would guess that's the plan.
Right. Yeah, I think you're going to play 3 corners at a time in today's NFL.
Well,
I mean, base is nickel at this point. You're playing 3, you're playing 5 defensive backs in your base.
Right, and they also have Branch.
Yep, they said they want to play some more at safety, but could still play the nickel spot. Yeah, I think you're going to see these rookies play this season, and at least one of them start this season, if not both by the end of the season.
And I just think the growth of Joseph and Melifonwu, too, at safety still.
Yep.
The room that they have to grow matters huge for these corners.
Well, think about it, and I heard these guys talking about it middays the other day. Like, the guys who were signed long-term at the corner position, it was Robertson and that's it. Especially if you're going to play Branch more
that
at
tells
safety.
You why you
so that's
or
why
you need
yes.
is why you did it.
Yes. Well, you need and best player available. There has to be a little bit of both, much to, the idea of we only draft the best player. Position matters too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.